allow ourselves a little bit of a detour and talk a little bit about Hanukkah. It seems to be a timely thing to do. Walk through the street. Take notice of the candles burning in the various windows. It's not just beautiful. It's more than that. It is beautiful, but it's a lot more than that also. Walk through the street and look around. Both sides of the street, you see apartment buildings that are glittering with the Hanukkah candles. And realize that you are not witnessing a commemoration of the miracle of Hanukkah, but you are seeing the miracle itself. What do I mean by that? What I mean is the understanding that really what happened back then, what happened back in the days of the Yavanim, was a harbinger. It was really just a first shot at something that would be repeating itself all throughout the generations. If you lived at that time and you saw what was going on, and you had a rational head on your shoulders, you understood that the survival of Jewish culture, the survival of Torah life, was just a matter of time. It was on its way. It wasn't going to be a continuation. Judaism had had its prime in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, but then, the Jewish people sinned. There was the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Nevuah ceased. All the miracles that had been in the first Beis HaMikdash were waning. There was still a remnant of them at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, but it was waning. And it seemed pretty clear that the Jewish prime was something of the past. And now, as Greek culture started spreading over the world and taking over, and the whole world was embracing it, and there was a pocket of people in Eretz Yisrael who were getting less and less, who were doggedly resisting it. But this was the new age, this was the new reality, this was the new world. And okay, they're going to stick it out for a little bit longer, but anybody rational understood that it really was just a matter of time, if they would hold out for another 10, another 20 years. And you know what? Since then, what actually happened at Nes Chanukah, we spoke about this Sunday in the Chavis Avovis Shir. What actually happened at Nes Chanukah was that Hashem made a demonstration that, yes, it'll flicker, it'll look like it's gone, going, but it will persevere, it will continue. Fast forward, 2,000 years later in history, and the great, mighty Greek Empire will be long gone. It'll be the subject of history books. And that flickering nation that was already a matter of time, somehow they're still there. Harav Hirsch went to become the Rav in Frankfurt. When the Jewish community there was, when the loyal Jewish community, the Jewish community there was thriving. But the loyal Jewish community, the Torah community, was dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. And he came there to try to salvage what could be salvaged. And among other things, he wrote his books that became a real part of our library. And among the people he was contending with was a former chavrusa of his. a man by the name of Avram Geiger. Avram Geiger is known as the father of the Reform. And you know that they had actually been chavrusas in the University of Bonn. In the University of Bonn, Rav Hirsch was there for all of a semester. And he learned chavrusa with Avram Geiger. They learned Masechta Menachos together. Okay, just an interesting tidbit. This man went on to become basically the father of the Reform. And he was Rav Hirsch's big disputant. And when Rav Hirsch published, I'm not sure if it was the 19 letters or if it was Chorev, I think it was the 19 letters, which was one of his big works in terms of, call it defense, I don't like to use that word, but giving the loyal something to work with in order to resist the winds of the time. And Geiger read it and was very, very impressed. And he had a lot of praise for the work. And he said, it's a great work. He just said, it's a shame that such amazing energies and such amazing talent is being put into a lost cause. It's being put into a cause that's really just a thing of the past. See, again, it's the pattern of history. It kept on repeating itself. The world is working against. That the Maharal talks about this. This is a deep concept. The world is working against the spirituality of the Jewish people. That's something that deserves more elaboration. We'll see if we'll do that tonight or not. And there have been many points in history where it seemed clear that it's going. It's on its way. For so many years, we have been under the boot of very, very great nations who are trying to stamp out that flame. And now I want to stress, we're differentiating here between Hanukkah and Purim. Rav Hirsch says that both are basically celebrating the same thing as we're discussing, just that Hanukkah is on the spiritual track and Purim is on the physical track. Hanukkah, we are celebrating the fact that the spirituality, the culture of the Jewish people is still here. Even though at so many points in history, it looked like it was a thing of the past. But you know what it was like? You know what it's like? I think of it in these terms. There's a game. You may have heard this from me in the past. There's a game where there's a board, and there are these like gophers that pop out at you. These like little animals that pop out, and you have to stand there with a hammer, and you have to bang each one as it pops out. They pop out from all different places. There's like 8 different holes, and they can pop out one after the other, and you have to make sure to hit each one quickly as it pops out. So you know you bang down one. It pops up over there. You bang it down there. It pops up over there. You just can't get rid of it. This is the game that the Jewish people are playing with the nations of the world. They finally managed to stamp out the observance of the Jewish people in one place. And that's it. They think they've obliterated it. But you know what? It suddenly flares up somewhere else. When in Spain, right, they managed to stamp it out. But it flared up elsewhere, wherever, you know, in so many different places where it seemed so unlikely that Torah, Judaism should manage to take a hold. When it was banished from one place, it flared up somewhere else. in America, when Rabbi Aaron Cutler was trying to establish a yeshiva world, he was told at that point, this is not Russia. America is not Russia. There is not going to be a thriving Torah world here. Okay, and then it was some 50, 60 years later where somebody trying to build Torah in Russia was told, Russia is not America. You're not going to be able to build Torah here. But this is exactly the point of Hanukkah. The Torah will thrive. The Torah will thrive even when Jewish culture will thrive. Even when it seems to be against all odds, it will flare up again. Yeah, go back to the story of Rav Hirsch, right? Said, finding a lost cause. But Rav Hirsch's impact on Orthodox Jewry is something that is still pulsing today, not only in the Yekesha community of the Hirschians, if we'll call them that, but his impact affected all of us. So you have to realize that when you're stepping outside and looking at the street that's lined with flames, it's not just that you're seeing a commemoration of something that happened back then. And basically since then, everything was happily ever after. Everything just sailed on easy street. Rationally speaking, there should not have been Hanukkah candles in the windows on your street in the year Tavshin Pei Aleph, in the year 2020. If you were looking at it from the perspective of 2,000 years ago, of 1,000 years ago, of 200 years ago, the odds would indicate that it's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. You're going to come back in another 100, 200 years, it's all going to be gone. But you know what? It's still there. It's still there. And this is because we actually are something miraculous. We actually are something supernatural. The Jewish people's existence in this world, on the physical level, which is not our subject now, but also on the spiritual level, the fact that the Torah culture is still alive today is a very, very open, explicit manifestation of the divine, of Hashem, because it isn't natural. The Maharal goes on about this. The Maharal talks about this at length. The Maharal says that you have to understand that there is, you know, let's develop this properly. He says something very, very profound. He says that Olam Hazeh, in essence, is a departure from a reality of Hashem Echad. Olam Hazeh is a certain pocket of existence where it could seem that there is no Hashem. It could seem that there is no Hashem. And the Maharal says that actually the forces of Olam Hazeh are actually fighting against the concept of Hashem Echad. This is something that is built into the Bria. This is something that is built into the Bria. There will always be anti-Semitism in the world. And if it isn't one nation, it'll be a different nation, right? If it isn't the Europeans, it'll be the Arabs. If it isn't the Arabs, there's always, they take turns. It's a round robin. But there will always be anti-Semitism in this world. Why? Because it's a koyach in the Bria. It's built into the Bria, that the Bria is something separate from Hashem, and therefore it is working against the recognition of Hashem in this world, while the Jewish people are actually Hashem's representatives in this world. And therefore, the Bria is working against the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism, we can even say in a way, it's not the fault of the nation, of the anti-Semitic nation. Yeah, you're getting into the whole philosophical discussion of the Rambam and the Ramban. Not going to get into that now, but whatever the case is, it is a force in the Bria. It's always going to be there as long as we're in this period in history before the revelation. In fact, according to the Gra, this started way back. Even before there were Jews, there was anti-Semitism. The Gra says that the fact that Sarah was unable to conceive was because the natural world works against an Am Hashem. The natural world works against this representation of Hashem in our world. And therefore, when there were no Jews and therefore there were no anti-Semites, it was the natural world working against it. Sarah, according to the natural system, had no place in this. Sarah's descendants. Am Hashem, Avram's descendants, had no place in the natural world. And therefore, because the natural world was fighting it, and therefore her conception and her giving birth had to be something unnatural. It's something divine. Because our existence and our lifestyle in this world is simply a manifestation of the divine. It's the word of Hashem that's pulsing in us and that will persevere no matter what. On the contrary, that's the purpose of it all. The world is working against it so that the clarity of Hashem Echad will be that much stronger by withstanding all the conflict, by withstanding all of the opposition to it. And therefore, once again, you have to realize that the fact that you are living a Torah life today is in and of itself a manifestation of Hashem Echad. You are a representation of Hashem in this world. You're a representation of His power. And the fact that even though the natural world has been fighting it the whole time, even though the natural world is trying to see to it already for millennia, that you will not be here living a life of Torah and mitzvahs today. You still are. Realize the value of what you're doing. Now, this is epitomized in the Ner Chanukah. This is the Pirsumei Nisa of Ner Chanukah. We are bringing it out. We're putting it out there for all to see. See, we're still here against all odds. But that is really just epitomizing what you're busy doing in your home on a day-to-day basis all year round. You are living a miracle. On Chanukah, Hashem tells us, I want you to now publicize what I'm doing. I want you to publicize my power and the fact that you're still here. Go and put it out there in a public way. And therefore, when you're saying the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Avisenu B'Mimahim Azman Azeh, appreciate that. He did miracles for our forefathers in those days, at this time, also now. And when you're lighting the menorah, appreciate that this is what you're doing. You are demonstrating the divinity in our world as Hashem's representative. Look, I'm here. Look at the light shining from my home. This is a Jewish home against all odds. This is a Jewish home, whether you like it or not. Stick it in your pipe and smoke it. And when you go down the street and you look at all that, look at all those lights and appreciate the miracle that you're witnessing. Appreciate the miracle that you're witnessing and connect to it. Bezos Hashem, let's talk and use this Chanukah to enhance, to intensify our faith in the eternity of Hashem's people and our faith in the greatness, in the divine nature of our own lives and our own role. Afer lech Chanukah.
Thank you.